A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed, in the view of the foolish, to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men, indeed, they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them, and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace, he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings, he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation, they shall shine, and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with his elect. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person, one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me. Because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." Verbum Domini. This televised Mass is always offered for you, our viewers, those of you who are present, and for your intentions, and for all of our deceased viewers and benefactors, and our deceased employees. And today, especially, I want to remember in this Mass and praying this Mass, especially all of our deceased viewers and benefactors and deceased employees. And one of those I especially remember died on the vigil of All Saints Day, Ann Meacham, who was here for so many years working behind the scenes so that you can see the televised Mass and so many other wonderful programs, and her husband Chuck of 27 years also working behind the scenes here in the facilities department. And just to pray for all of our deceased employees for the blessed repose of their souls, and that God will bring them all quickly to join that life of glory with all the saints that we celebrated yesterday and that we're all striving for. You know, I finally had a dream of mine realized this past September. I had wanted to do this for years. And what it was when I was a young priest, I had somewhat of a experience when I was celebrating Mass of my deceased ancestors and how they were grateful that one of their descendants was now a priest, could remember them at Mass. But what I longed to do was to actually find out where they had emigrated from and to go to those places, the churches where they were baptized, married, received the sacraments, where they attended Mass, and to offer Mass in that very place for the blessed repose of their souls. And so, little by little, I began to learn some of the genealogy of my father's side and my mother's side. And it all came together when EWTN was having their international affiliate meeting in Cologne. So every year, all of our international offices have a meeting just to talk about the challenges they face and to help them in continuing their own work of spreading the gospel in their own countries. You know, we're in 145 countries. We don't have offices in all those countries, but we're broadcasting to all of those places. And so Cologne was actually only 2 hours away from my ancestors' homelands, both of them. And so I got permission then to go first to Luxembourg, a little village of Nagem, Luxembourg, about 290 people still today. And that church is 500 years old. That's where my great-grandfather came from and where his parents were, and even before that, as people weren't so mobile in those days. And so with the pastor's help, both in Nagem, Luxembourg, where the Wolfs were from, and then southwest Germany, Bernkastel, Germany, where my mother's side was from, just 2 hours away, I was able to offer Mass for my deceased ancestors. I really had a sense of their presence at that Mass. Of course, we don't have to go to the countries where our ancestors are from to remember our ancestors and to pray for them. And that's the beauty of prayer, right? That we can pray anywhere. But a pilgrimage, and this was a pilgrimage in a sense for me, is also an act that we can offer for our deceased relatives. It was traditionally an act of penance. There are sacrifices to be entailed. There's difficulties to be overcome. But also there are graces to be received when we make a pilgrimage. So I was able to offer that and to offer a Mass for the blessed repose of the soul of my ancestors, to pray the rosary in those locations. In Luxembourg, there was a beautiful grotto to Our Lady they have there, to also pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet in Bernkastel, Germany, that these beautiful Stations of the Cross that went up a hill and ended with this beautiful depiction of the Pietà with multiple figures. So I was grateful to be able to remember my ancestors, and today I'd encourage you to do the same. That all of your deceased ancestors who are in purgatory, that you would pray for them. And we can, especially during the month of November and November 2nd through the 8th, if we visit a cemetery where some of your ancestors probably are laid to rest, but any cemetery really you can visit, and you can gain a plenary indulgence for a particular soul. So I'd encourage you to do that. I'd also encourage you to join us this evening. So this evening at 4 p.m. Central Time, live, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, we are going to be praying Vespers for the Holy Souls, the Office for the Dead. And we're going to be singing this office. It's a beautiful prayer that we can offer for our deceased relatives, ancestors, and friends. So join us tonight at, again, 4 p.m. Central Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you don't have the texts, you can easily get those. Just go to ewtn.com/vespers, ewtn.com/vespers, and you can find the text right there, and you can follow along with the hymns and the prayers. One of the psalms that we'll be praying tonight is Psalm 130, the De Profundis, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, which is a psalm that the church encourages us to pray for the blessed repose of the souls of the faithful. And as we think of this, you know, we WTN have been delighted to know over the years the Purgatory Lady, right? Susan Tassone has written so many books about purgatory, and really very practical, easy to read things that she conveys in these books that really encourage us, I think, to remember them, to pray for them. And she was asked one time, in all of your years of studying and writing about purgatory, what has surprised you the most? And she answered, the more I learn about purgatory, the more I come to realize that this God-given gift isn't about punishment. It's about love. God is not trying to get even with people. Out of his mercy and love, he is preparing his unprepared children to be with him face to face for all eternity. Purgatory is a beautiful sign of God's infinite love. It's really a work of his mercy, that those who are not yet ready for the perfection and glory of heaven, and many people, you think of the thousands of people that die even daily, are all of them ready, perfectly purified to be ready for heaven? The answer is no. But God in his mercy gives us a place where we can be cleansed, purified. Those who are, you know, in God's grace, that in his mercy he allows us this. So here's what she also said. She said, the holy souls burn with a spiritual fever, a yearning for God that surpasses the heat of any earthly fire. So we rightly speak of the fire of purgatory and the cleansing flames of love with which divine charity reaches out to purify these souls. The saints experience this ardent love while they are alive. You know, Saint Therese, one of the quotes that I love of her is that she said, how could God purify in purgatory a soul already burning in a flame with his love in this life? So that's our goal, right? To be burning with love for God in this life. And in that, the purification of so much is taking place within us, and hopefully everything. It is possible not to go to purgatory if we live a life of fervent love for God and burning love for God in this life, cooperating it with his will as best as we can and as we know it. And Susan continued, the holy soul's suffering is one of longing and unease due to being separated from God. They see him and know him, but they are not fully united with him yet. I call this holy fire. And she refers to Pope Benedict, who who talks about the touch of Jesus' heart heals us through an undeniable, painful transformation. But it's a blessed pain in which the holy power of his love sears through us like a flame, enabling us to become totally ourselves and thus totally of God. But I'd just like to refer to a few experiences of Saint Faustina in her Diary of Divine Mercy, which I think help us to explain, and this is from Susan's book on Saint Faustina, and it begins with some of the things that she related with her experience with the holy souls that she had, and things that we can learn from her own experience and from this diary. So before Holy Souls Day, Saint Faustina went to a cemetery at dusk. And she said, although it was locked, I managed to open the gate a bit and said, if you need something, my dear little souls, I will be glad to help you to the extent that the rule permits me. Then I heard these words, do the will of God. We are happy in the measure that we have fulfilled God's will. Faustina continued, I became introspective and reflected for a long time on how I am fulfilling God's will and how I am profiting from the time that God has given me. So this is a reflection for us today too, isn't it? That we want to live a life conformed to God's will, aflame with love for God, and participating in the Mass through television, especially being present, receiving the Holy Eucharist, and prayer, being faithful to prayer, is one of the ways, as I will talk about in a bit. Another thing that she experienced, where she experienced this union that we have, so there's this mystical union with the saints now in glory, the church triumphant, they intercede for us, and we can benefit from their prayers, but there's also this communion we have with the holy souls. They're called holy souls because they are destined for heaven. They're being prepared for heaven. And so Faustina had an experience with one of her deceased sisters who was in purgatory, and how she really experienced how this union is so deep and real in Christ. One evening, one of the deceased sisters, who had already visited me a few times, appeared to me. The first time I had seen her, she had been in great suffering, and then gradually these sufferings had diminished. This time she was radiant with happiness, and she told me she was already in heaven. And further, as a sign that she only now was in heaven, God would bless our house. Then she came close to me, embraced me sincerely, and said, I must go now. And Faustina said, I understood how closely the three stages of a soul's life are bound together. That is to say, life on earth, in purgatory, and in heaven with the communion of the saints. And then the last one that I will relate today was how she began to experience, what is it like? What is this purification? And how Faustina had an experience of this, July 9th, 1937. This evening, one of my deceased sisters came and asked me for one day of fasting and to offer all my spiritual exercises on that day for her. I answered that I would. And from early morning on the following day, I offered everything for her intention. During Holy Mass, I had a brief experience of her torment. I experienced such intense hunger for God that I seemed to be dying of the desire to become united with him. This lasted only a short time, but I understood what the longing of the souls in purgatory was like. You know, there's a wonderful a documentary called Purgatory the Forgotten Church, which you can find free on demand on EWTN. It was put together by the Conventual Franciscans. Cardinal Francis George is part of that, and they describe, you know, some of the teachings of the church. So it's a good catechesis on this beautiful doctrine, really, of God's mercy that should give us hope, right? That he doesn't want our condemnation, and he wants to prepare his unprepared children so that they can be with him with glory in the glory of heaven forever. So the last thing I wanted to relate is, how do we avoid purgatory? How do we grow in what St. Therese called this burning love of God? The Catechism tells us in 1473, while patiently bearing sufferings and trials of all kinds, and when the day comes, serenely facing death, that's the last offering we can make. Into your hands I commend my spirit. My work is accomplished. It is accomplished. That's our last offering. While patiently bearing sufferings and trials of all kinds, and when the day comes serenely facing death, the Christian must strive to accept this temporal punishment of sin as a grace. He should strive by works of mercy and charity, as well as by prayer and the various practices of penance, to put off completely the old man and to put on the new man. And the good news is that's what the Lord wants for us too. And every day he's giving us graces. He's giving us opportunities. He's teaching us. He's leading us so that we can have that burning love that St. Therese talked about, and that we might go swiftly to heaven when he calls us to be with him forever.